Welcome to the HealthLinks podcast, presented by the HealthLinks family of services. I'm your host, DJ Thatcher. Our mission here is to engage in conversations about the medical, health, and wellness landscape of South Carolina, so we're all better informed. In this episode, we're joined by Dr. Sean English, a vascular surgeon with Coastal Vascular and Vein Centers. Dr. English, welcome to the HealthLinks podcast.
Thanks for having me.
You know, we've had the Coastal Vascular and Vein Centers on a previous podcast, but it's been a while. Things are progressing so much in the field. Tell us just a bit about the centers.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing how rapidly it's growing and expanding. We're actually in our newest facility here in Nexton, Somerville. I'm learning the areas in Charleston since we moved here.
Right.
Which is a state-of-the-art facility where we're able to do our diagnostics, see patients in the clinic. We have an OBL and ASC, outpatient-based laboratory and ambulatory surgery center that we're able to do a number of different procedures at. But we also have our West Ashley location with another OBL where we do diagnostics and treat patients. We've opened a new center in Murrells Inlet where it's basically this facility like at Nexton near Myrtle Beach. We see patients in Walterboro, and we're going to be setting up a location in Mount Pleasant too. So we're growing rapidly.
Yeah, several offices in the greater Charleston area and also, of course, Murrells Inlet. But you're seeing patients from all over the state, aren't you?
Yes, we are. We're definitely seeing, like we said, you know, from that Myrtle Beach area, but we get patients from all over South Carolina.
So you mentioned state of the art. So the center that we're in, beautiful. You got to come out here and see this, folks. Right down the hallway from us is a state of the art surgical suite, operating room. Mm-hmm. You're doing procedures here now that traditionally were done only in hospitals. Tell us a bit about some of those.
Yeah. So I think there's been a push within our field to be able to provide easy access for patients. A lot of our patients are not the healthiest folks, and some are infirm. Yeah. And getting to and from to see their physician for evaluation, but then treatment can be challenging. And so to try to go downtown or go to larger centers can be almost impossible for some of our patients. So with the centers that we've set up and that we utilize, it's very easy for patients to get to these locations. Parking is, you know, abundant.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, easy for them to get into the facility. But we're also able to help them move around within the facility with ease and not have to, you know, truck almost a mile to get to certain locations, depending on where they're at, again, in order to get cared for. And so with a well-coordinated staff of nurses and MAs and technologists and physicians and support staff, mm-hmm. with our executive staff as well, we've really been able to set up a well-oiled machine, if you will, in order to get patients taken care of.
That's great. Yeah, the name says it all. Vascular and Vein Center. A lot of people, the lay public in particular, probably thinks of spider veins, varicose veins, and so forth. Certainly you treat that, but a whole lot more too. Tell us about some of the more advanced or more in-depth types of procedures you perform here.
Yeah, so, you know, we take a head-to-toe approach, I guess is the best way for me to describe it. And so we take care of cerebrovascular disease or largely carotid disease. You and I did, talked before about the different types of carotid revascularization we do. Mm-hmm. So we perform traditional open carotid endarterectomy, but we also perform a procedure called TCAR or carotid stenting under flow reversal. So it's a way for us to significantly decrease stroke rates, stroke risk associated with.
That's all carotid artery disease that we're talking about, just for the public, sure.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, we're involved with robust treatments of aortic disease, whether it's in the thoracic or in the abdominal aorta. We deal with renal artery vascular disease as well as mesenteric vascular disease. Mm-hmm. But our passion is the peripheral arterial disease and venous disease. We believe in limb salvage as a way to really extend patients' lives. And so we take a very aggressive but progressive, minimally invasive approach to peripheral arterial disease as well as chronic venous insufficiency. And so we provide comprehensive evaluation and treatment for that here. Are having a lot of success doing that.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a bit about yourself. You've been all over from where you grew up in medical school, residency, your fellowship, and other practices. Give us a little glimpse into the life of Dr. English.
Yeah, it's interesting. My wife and I were talking about the path that I've been on and that we've been on together. I'm originally from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So I support a different kind of tiger.
Wait. Is the weather kind of the same?
It's very similar. The humidity is similar, but
yeah, tigers, you got that connection.
Different kind of tiger, yeah. But and we may have taken y'all in the last national championship.
I remember. Yeah.
Moved around a fair amount. I lived out west, outside of the U.S. in the Northeast, did undergraduate work in Ohio, and then was at University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia, where you spent some time, mm-hmm. and then did my residency at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, and completed my fellowship at Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston.
Well,
I took my first position at Washington University in St. Louis, mm-hmm. Where I had an academic position.
I was going to say, tell us about that academic position.
Yeah. It was, the goal of trying to be the surgeon scientist, which, we had an R1 funded lab and had a good amount of success, though it required the work of a whole team in order to make that happen. I certainly wasn't able to do it on my own.
Sure.
Decided that with a growing family, that wasn't going to be, the way that we could, meet all of our goals and objectives, meaning my wife that I met there in St. Louis. And so we decided to step away and get closer to her family and grow our family and, engage in what you and I have talked about with rural medicine and trying to take care of vascular patients, outside of the big centers.
Sure.
Even though here we take care of, patients from, underserved and rural.
Interesting area, yes. It's metro, but it's very rural too.
Yeah, you can. No question.
Yeah.
Did that in Alabama for 3 years, but then decided we wanted to, provide some more opportunity for our kids and
sure,
and for our family. And so we sort of stumbled upon this. My wife actually will have to give her credit for finding this,
This was just a great story that Dr. Mueller shared with me, and just real quick how this happened, coming to Charleston, because you're the newest member of the team here, so this wasn't that long ago. We filmed this now in the summer of 24, but go ahead.
Well, we were in bed, our three kids and my wife and I, and we were looking at a website. The Society for Vascular Surgery has a job board, and we were looking at some different opportunities, and my wife said, well, what do you think about Charleston? I said, yeah, I've never been there, but I hear it's a cool town.
Yeah.
I said, well, good, but I've submitted your resume. So,
she took it upon herself.
Huh? Yeah. So I actually heard from the guys that Monday, and we, flew down that weekend, the next weekend, and started talking. And I think really found that, we share a similar vision with how we take care of patients.
That's
how we want to see a place like this grow and really provide a different kind of care in the, greater Charleston mm-hmm. area. And so, It was a good fit, an easy fit, and it's been rocking along really well. So,
but just real quick, you landed here in February. It's now August as we record this. Any regrets now that you're in the height of summer?
No, not at all. I mean, it was cool. The weather was great in February, and it's been pretty intense, but it's already starting to get a little bit more mild, and it's going to be a great fall and winter. So.
Prioritize your health with a subscription to HealthLinks magazine. Get every issue of HealthLinks delivered right to your door for only $15.99 a year. 6 issues packed full of local factual health information to help you be the best version of yourself in 2024. Subscribe now to HealthLinks magazine. Visit subscribehealthlinks.com. That's subscribehealthlinks.com. HealthLinks magazine, the Low Country's prescription for well-being. You're watching the HealthLinks podcast.
You mentioned earlier about some of the procedures you perform here. And having been around so many areas, Northeast, Louisiana, everywhere else, how does South Carolina compare as far as the medical care here is great, but I mean the diseases that we see. I think we lead the nation in kidney disease and hypertension and many of the things, obviously, that affect vasculature directly. What's your take on that?
Yeah, it's interesting. I've made this comment before. The common person or the lay person, whether you're out west or you're in the Northeast or you're down south, vascular disease doesn't discriminate, and it affects a lot of patients in the United States. And with a lack of education, and I just mean from the standpoint of medical awareness,
mm-hmm.
With a lack of education, a lack of good preventative care. Patients can find themselves in a real bad predicament. And we certainly have a fair amount of that here with regard to, again, access to care, which can be limited in certain areas and to certain degrees, a lack of understanding how diet choices, you know, the weight that they're carrying around, smoking is still a major issue for adolescents, that these kind of problems can progress and blossom and turn into real issues that, you know, we would like to get to as early on in the development as possible. Because the sooner we can get going on providing that education, getting preventative measures and approaches in place to, you know, treating patients, you know, the better off hopefully they'll be.
Yeah.
So, you know, going back to your education, just we have a lot of people who watch the podcast who are medical people or considering a career. It's a long haul. I mean, it's a 4 years of medical school, a 5 year surgical residency.
Yeah, five clinical, 2 years of research.
And 10 years of research and fellowship. So you're very much sought after. You could go anywhere. Why did you join this practice as opposed to maybe being drawn into a hospital practice? I'm sure hospitals would love to have you. Tell us a bit more about the about the attraction here.
It's interesting. I mean, as we've already discussed, so, you know, I've been exposed to, you know, an academic setting, high-functioning academic setting to, you know, more community-based practice. And so I've kind of done my due diligence of checking medical care out, you know, at different levels. What was most appealing to me about this group, it's multifold, but the first thing was just getting to speak with the different, you know, guys that operate and work here. We all have a similar vision, as I think we've alluded to and talked about, of how we want to take care of patients, the commitment we have to them, the commitment we have to, whether it be, you know, the carotid and aortic disease we've talked about, but largely the limb salvage work, which is really our passion, and I think one of our focuses, to really maintaining the standard and quality of life, you know, for our patients. But it's, you see it throughout the whole center in terms of whether it be our executive staff to our support staff, our MAs and nurses to our technologists. You know, everyone is committed to that same vision.
They're right.
And so we really do have an efficient and, I think I've already said, a well-oiled machine to whereby patients, they get plugged in, but they're not lost. I mean, we help carry them through every stage of their, you know, the evaluation and treatment process, to their postoperative care and surveillance. And, you know, it really is a family-oriented approach. I mean, we all see each other's patients, know the patients.
That's a big piece you brought up earlier, that it's not just, hey, I see, you know, Dr. English. I mean, you might see multiple doctors, right?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because, you know, going through all that training and going through some, you know, some old school approaches, there is that sort of ownership approach in medicine that you see of, you know, patients having one physician and only knowing one doctor. And though that can be very successful, and it's a fine way to do it, when you have a practice like ours with multiple locations and centers where we see and take care of patients, as I try to explain to patients, I can't be everywhere at the same time. And so if it has to be that you have a study done at one location, you're operated on at another, and you get your postoperative care and surveillance at another site, it may be that you'll see one of our, I haven't mentioned our spectacular PAs that we have. Maybe that you see one of the PAs or you see one of my partners. And because we have a shared vision and, you know, we all study and practice vascular surgery and vascular medicine in similar ways, you're going to get that continuity of care.
That's good.
And we're able to, again, get patients seen, evaluated, and treated in a really efficient way. And there's no delay, particularly when you're dealing with disease processes that don't wait on you and don't wait on the folks doing their evaluation and treatment. You know, it's moving fast. So
one of the nice things about the centers is they are comprehensive. They're a one-stop shop. So you don't have to go someplace for radiology studies, another place for lab work. It's all here.
Yeah.
Maybe speak for just a moment to, we have a fair number of medical professionals who watch the podcast as well, but you speak to the medical community, fellow physicians and other clinicians, you know, why they should refer patients here as opposed to maybe the medical centers or other options.
Yeah. I mean, I think it speaks to some of the stuff we've already touched on, and that is, the ease with which patients are able to access their care with It's not to say that there aren't great centers in the area. I mean, there's tremendous vascular surgery care provided in the greater Charleston area. But for those patients who would rather not have to go downtown or have to navigate traffic or problems with parking, and would prefer a team approach with ease of access and coordinated care, you know, we're able to, again, do that head-to-toe approach in a, you know, fairly progressive and sophisticated manner. Mm-hmm. The other thing that goes along with the team approach that I've mentioned is we're not afraid to call and ask our partners for their advice. You know, hey, what do you think of this? I mean, it's not uncommon that we'll be on a text string and, hey, I saw this patient. Hey, you mind looking at this angiogram or this CAT scan? Let me know what you think. What would you do?
Well, it should be.
So there's no ego that goes into, you know, determining what's going to be the best way to get this patient taken care of.
That's great.
And so if one of us has maybe a bit more experience with something, or one of us has tried something and we need a different pair of eyes, pair of hands to help get a patient, you know, mm-hmm. do that next step, we're happy to either step up or step back and allow that to happen. So
now you're fully comprehensive as well, in the sense that if someone does have a cerebral vascular condition, a thoracic aneurysm, that's not going to be performed at the outpatient centers, but you have privileges at the medical centers as well.
That's right.
You could do that.
Yeah. So we do have our outpatient-based laboratories and ambulatory surgery centers, but a number of the conditions we take care of do require, you know, higher levels of care. Mm-hmm. We'll need the help of our perioperative services, our anesthesia colleagues, our postoperative nursing and critical care colleagues to help us take care of patients. So, we are working closely with the Trident Medical Center to really provide similar types of ease of access mm-hmm. and care at their medical center. And they've been a tremendous partner in helping us establish that and maintain that.
Terrific. One of the unique aspects as well is the fact that patients can refer themselves here. They don't need to go through a primary care provider. But speak to the lay public who might be watching and listening. How do they know that they have a vascular condition? Why? What would make them pick up the phone and call here? What are some signs and symptoms they should be looking for?
Yeah, it's...
That's loaded, I know. It's a lot.
Yeah, no, for sure. No, but it can be an overwhelming or scary thing for patients when they're thinking about, you know, some of the things that they know go along with vascular disease, whether it's strokes or aneurysms that can rupture and, you know, ischemic limbs that can compromise their legs, or DVTs that can go to their lungs. And so, you know, the way that we try to approach it is, and, you know, I would ask that folks try to share the information, is that, you know, if you're concerned that you may be having a stroke or having stroke-like symptoms, contact us. If you're having chest pain or abdominal pain that extends to the back, you know, largely if there's a family history and you smoke or have uncontrolled hypertension or cholesterol that's out of control, aneurysm disease is something that we ought to look at and see. You know, pain with walking. I mean, we always ask our patients, can you walk around in the grocery store? You get pain in your calves, thighs, or buttocks. Are you able to, can you only make it to the produce aisle, or can you make it all the way to the dairy section?
Well, mm-hmm.
And if you're having pain with walking or even at rest, you need to be seen. That patient that develops swelling in their leg or legs after a long trip, or have been immobile because they've had another type of surgery mm-hmm. or treated something medically, that swelling should, you know, raise a flag and you need to contact us so we can evaluate you. And so those are the kind of things that if you have any doubt, just call.
Sure.
We can talk with you over the phone or coordinate getting in to be seen
sure.
easily. And we're always happy to say there's nothing wrong. So you don't need us. But, you know, the silent things that we do take care of, better to find it, like I said, early so we can get it managed appropriately.
Well, you're directly affecting people's quality of life. And I guess at the end of the day, that's what really is most satisfying for you, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I think we who do this, you know, do vascular surgery that's unique about our field is that we follow patients. You know, they become longstanding patients. Many of them we survey and we follow along for years at a time before ever even operating on them, or we have to operate on them, but we have to follow what we've done. And so, you know, we're able to establish those relationships and rapport with patients that hopefully, you know, we can make their time coming to the doctor a little bit easier. And as they get to know our staff and us, you know, we can, though some of these things can be tough and challenging, hopefully we can, you know, add a little brightness to their day. To really when they come and see us.
All right. Well, what's the biggest surprise so far moving to the Charleston metro area?
Biggest thing so far. Well, everybody said traffic would be.
Okay.
Yeah. It really hasn't been that bad. I mean, the centers that I go to, I go against drought as far as getting to and from. We live in a wonderful area, and My children love it. My wife loves it. I love it. It's made getting our kids to school, to enjoying just day-to-day activities, has been, you know, just a real treat. When, you know, it's those little things during the month that just makes life just a little bit better and brighter that we're really enjoying. We like the beach a lot. You know, the kids love it. The weather's pretty nice. The palm trees are pretty and cool. So, you know, we're really enjoying it.
Our background stories of getting here are very similar. We came here for a 2-year contract, and for my wife and I, and that was 18 years ago. So it has a way of drawing you in and keeping you. Yeah. So,
bro, my wife and I have talked about that. We don't intend on leaving.
This is where we want to be.
We really, we love it here, and I already, you know, feel very much a part of the group here, and am invested in the centers that we have, and we only want to see this continue to grow up.
Sure. So again, we're at Coastal Vascular and Vein Centers. You'll see the contact information on the screen. And Dr. Sean English, thank you so much for joining us here in the HealthLinks podcast.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us for this episode. Remember, the HealthLinks podcast is presented by the HealthLinks family of services. And to gain access to anything related to HealthLinks South Carolina, check out our website at healthlinkssc.com. And to listen to any of our nearly 100 podcasts, hey, simply put a /podcast in front of that website. You can check those out as well. And to reach me directly, perhaps for comments about our guests or maybe suggestions for future podcasts, love to hear from you. You reach me directly at host@healthlinkssc.com. Once again, I'm DJ Thatcher. Thank you for joining.